Am I on? Okay. I forget to turn on the mic half the time. Open your Bibles to John 14. John 14. This Sunday, I think, is the last Sunday we collect our Faith Promise missions. So if you haven't put one in, please. Judy and I, we taught our kids that they put in Faith Promise cards as little kids on whatever they had gotten and to make a promise, even though we didn't give them allowance. They did work in our house because they lived in our house. Amen. Okay. But a cheerful giver. A mother wanted to teach her daughter a moral lesson. She gave the little girl a quarter and a dollar for church. Put whichever you want in the collection plate and keep the other for yourself, she told the little girl. Sunday, when they were coming out of church, the mother asked her daughter which amount she had given. She said, "Well, I was going to give the dollar just before the collection. The preacher said, God loves a cheerful giver, so I know I'd be a lot more cheerful about giving the quarter." We have to think about that. Stories told of a young lad who was given two quarters for a Sunday morning with instructions that one was for the Lord to be placed in the offering plate on Sunday school and the other for himself, and so off he went to church. As boys often do, he walked along thinking about how he would spend his quarter later and was holding the two quarters in his hand when suddenly he stumbled and fell. One of the quarters slipped through his fingers, bounced off the curb, and ran into the gutter and rolled right down into the drain. He got up, brushed himself off, looking down into the drain, and said, "Well, Lord, there goes your quarter." So, there's a lot of truth in how the attitude is with that, isn't it? Okay. When you don't realize it's all his and not of ours. John 14, verse 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." That's a prayer promise, people. If you're trying to give God glory, he's going to answer that prayer. "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, and he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him." Now who abides in the believer? The Holy Spirit. You can't separate God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you." And about 15 years ago, I preached a series of messages on the Spirit of Truth. Tonight, I just want to look at one of them on prayer, because as we're dealing with our Faith Promise Missions Conference, a person who doesn't pray over that is not serious about it. Amen? And so we want to look tonight. We're going to see that the Holy Ghost is a spirit of prayer. There's no real praying without the Holy Spirit leading in your life. Too many times as believers, we get to a place where we just go through the motions. Okay, when people say it's an unspoken prayer request, either they're taking it serious and they want it only to be between them and the Lord, and we're told that the Holy Spirit will take our mumbling, our utterances, and bring them before the throne of God. Okay, if it's a serious prayer request, that's what an unspoken prayer request is about. If it's something you're a little embarrassed about, shame on you. Okay? I just want you to understand that. But if it's an unspoken one, you want God to work in that. And I want you to know, I'm not a charismatic. I'm not talking about ashlish, anti, bow tie, necktie stuff. All right? I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm talking about heartfelt sincerity when you pray. Marriages have trouble because they can't have heartfelt communication, conversation with each other. Do you understand, believer? You're the bride of Christ, and you're supposed to have a heartfelt relationship and a conversation with your bridegroom, your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can't talk to Him, how are you going to talk to other people? He loves you with an everlasting love. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. His love is a perfect love, and you cast out all fear. You know why people can't talk? They're afraid of what being said they're going to say may not be received. The Holy Spirit wants us to come before the throne of God in faith. Turn to James chapter 1. We may not finish this message tonight. Okay. We will see as the Lord leads. All right. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He's not going to poke fun at you when you ask. He said, ask and ye shall be what? Given. Seek, and ye shall find. And it shall be given him. But let him ask how? In faith, nothing what? Wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How many people pray expecting God won't answer their prayer? I tell people all the time, I have confidence my prayers are going to be answered. Not because of me, okay? I know that in me dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, all right? But I have a God, I have a heavenly Father who desires to hear from me. You have a heavenly Father that desires to hear from you. How often do you talk to Him? Are you afraid of your earthly father so you can't speak to Him? Don't let your earthly father get in the way of your heavenly Father. Know who He is by what He has told you and what He shows you. Amen? Let him ask in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's so many different passages on prayer that Jesus gave even in the Gospels. I could talk about the parable of the unjust judge. Has this woman come and she's nagging the snot out of me? That's the Legault version. That's not King James. Okay? She just keeps asking and asking, and he says, well, I don't care about God and I don't care about man, but if I don't deal with this woman, she's going to keep asking. And he says, won't your heavenly Father much more give? Especially give them the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that's asked of him. Why do you pray? You ever think about that? Why do you pray?
Well, if I was a Calvinist, everything is preordained before the foundation of the world, and I really don't need to pray, I just need to obey.
Ah, nuts. You know what prayer does? It brings God's to our side in the battle. Okay? You have not because you ask not. You ask and have not because you ask it amiss that you may consume it upon your what? Your own lust. Prayer is not about you. It may be prayer for you, but it's not about you. It's about glorifying God. Amen? Amen. Because you want him on your side in the battle. Is there a battle? Over half of the counseling I do is to help people to understand that it's not a physical issue. It's not an emotional issue. It's a spiritual issue. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of whose might? For when I am weak, then I am. For his grace is unmerited favor, a special place before God, as his child, as his soldier, he will hear my voice. In the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the who? That stinking person who stole your parking space. That student in school that gives you a hard time, that bully, the neighbor that you don't get along with.
Lord, I know I'm supposed to love them, but sometimes I really don't like them.
There's a spiritual battle against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against our neighbor, we wrestle not against our spouse, we wrestle not against our parents, we wrestle not against the teacher, the police officer, the judge, that person who stole my parking spot. See, I don't have an issue with that, I promise. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I had to preach to pastors Monday night, and I was given the task. I was told what I was preaching on, and it's the gospel still works. And I had fun with that, because you know what I know? The gospel still works. Feet shod with the preparation. That means you're prepared to take it to other people. All right? You're in prayer meeting tonight. Christian Workers New Testament. Believer, do you have tracts in the New Testament on you? When you go out of your house, do you have it near your door? I had a chance to witness to a Department of Environmental Conservation officer this week. He's a nice guy. Nice guy. Tracks and TNT. I don't have one. Get one. I think if we talk to our pastor, we can order some of these, right? Okay. Get enough, put it in your pocket, put a few tracks in it. I carry more tracks than that. Okay. You know what I say to every person? When I buy gas, God bless you. You have a good day. Would you take this and read? Most people will take them. Your feet shod with what? I thought you were going to speak on prayer tonight. I am. Because you pray before you give. You give out tracts. You give of your time. You go door to door. You go to the street corners. You give in the offering plate. You pray first because you want God on your side in the battle. You still with me? Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know why? The shield of faith? Because faith is based upon what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not your feelings. You know how many times your feelings can interfere with your prayer life? Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts, the attacks. Don't give in to your emotions when you come under spiritual attack. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. You're a child of the King. You're chosen. You're accepted in the Beloved. Do you understand that? You're a citizen of a far better country. The devil is a liar and the father of it. His minions, the unclean spirits, the other devils, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness in this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places, they're all liars. The best lie gives you almost all truth and then slips the part in that kicks you. Amen? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You don't defend the sword, you wield the sword. And when you wield the sword, your faith will grow. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And what does it lead you to do in the battle? You say, why are you reading this passage? Look at verse 18. You put on the armor. What's the first thing you do? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto. With all what? Sticking to it. In supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. It's about Him. Why pray? You want, there's a battle. You want God in the battle. For the sake of time, we won't turn there. But I want you to be thinking about when you pray, are you sincere in it? Are you asking the Holy Spirit truly to carry those prayers before the throne of God? Because that's part of His ministry. Are you seeking God's face? I not only want God to be on my side, you know what? I want to be on His side. Right? We sing a hymn in this church, who is on the Lord's side? Right? If you go through the motions in your prayer, that's like somebody going through the motions in the military so that they can pass the test to get to the next thing, and they don't know how to use their weapon. Right, Brother Conley? My father, decorated Marine, World War II. I have his Bronze Star. I have his other medals. He said they made us sleep with the stupid thing. It became our bride. Okay? We had to take it apart, put it together, take it apart, put it together. Learn to love it, trust it, and to take care of it. Because that was their weapon. You know what I thought about when I heard my dad say that? Take it apart and put it together. Learn to trust it, love it, and use it to fight. Do you use Scripture when you pray? Do you know When you pray, God's word does not ever return unto him. How? Void, with no value. We need to take prayer more seriously, especially in the last days. Are we in the last days? You know why we come together and pray? Because we're commanded to. Do you know that the prayers of the saints, when you get to the tribulation, come before the throne of God and it changes things for them? Our Bible says men ought always to pray and faint not. And with that, we'll stop tonight, because all God's people said, we'll continue.